Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Salty Sisters. I'm Brianna.
I'm Kristen. Hi. Boy, that you took that intro back to the Felicity days.
I kind of like it. It's just like our tried and true intro.
Nice. We talk a lot about our intro every week.
Well, you know,
it's always
like,
me, I think.
You don't really like the intro music like super much. I feel like I get a lot of pressure on the intro.
Nice.
How was your Thanksgiving? Should we talk? I mean, your Thanksgiving was the same as my Thanksgiving. So let's talk about our Thanksgiving recap quick.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll do like food news and everything at the top of the hour here.
Yeah. So Kristen hosted Thanksgiving this year. Note, I hosted Thanksgiving last year with Mark. Just want everybody to know that. And we are hosting Christmas. Kristen had an amazing spread.
Thanks so much. Yeah. You know, big food day. We really tried to drink our clear alcohol liquids and eat a lot of vegetables first. Just kidding.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Like, this is something I saw on Instagram and multiple places more than once. Don't forget to set your scales back 15 pounds. I wish I never had to see that kind of thing again. My main question is, who can eat that much on Thanksgiving?
For sure.
Like, seriously. I mean, I went in it with all the intentions of maybe I'll eat all of that burrata stuff or eat all the Chex Mix. But let me tell you, there comes a point where you just can't eat anymore. Sure. You don't need to fucking see these. Don't forget to set your scales back, you skis bags.
Yeah, so we had a really good day of hosting. I started with a punch that I found on Instagram. I'm not even going to bother to say what site. We'll link it. But it was like Prosecco and rum. I'm sorry, not rum. Prosecco and bourbon, apple cider, ginger beer, lemon, lime, orange. It was good, but like sweet. So I, you know, you have to have it over ice and let it just kind of mellow out a bit.
Yeah, I think you and I both agreed, and maybe the boys did too. I guess I didn't really ask their opinion, but if it just had like more bubbles, or like what happened to the bubbles?
Like it should have a lot of bubbles because of the Prosecco and the ginger beer, but it didn't.
Yeah, I feel like we could improve it.
Yeah,
if
I'm
we
never
wanted
gonna
to
make
drink
it again.
Right.
I mean, Phil said it was going down like water, so I think we're yeah. And then for dinner, I made a braised short rib pasta, and it was a half baked harvest recipe. We did cheese and charcuterie. I made Chex Mix.
Can you explain the burrata thing?
And then I explained it a couple weeks ago, I think,
oh,
but it's
you?
From
okay.
The Half Baked Harvest cookbook, and it's like a tomato salad, but it's like tomatoes with burrata torn up, and then it's a pistachio pesto, and we serve it with bread almost like a bruschetta style.
It's so good. I basically requested that she make this because yummers.
It's real good.
Real good.
And then, yeah, it was football. All of the games were like pretty unexciting. We got in a good game of Scattergories, which Brie excelled at, annoyingly Woo-hoo! Enough. It was really just, he blew us away.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you for a second here, okay? I went through this phase in my life. I took some sort of honors English class or whatever it's called in college. And there was something where you had to really, I don't want to say think outside of the box, but like when you were using certain words, like don't use that word, use a different word. And so I spent a lot of time looking at the,
like a thesaurus?
Is it a thesaurus that you look at? Yeah. Like just thinking or like trying to think of other words to use than whatever. So I think that helped me.
I wonder what honors college course this was.
It was English.
I know. Are there honors college courses?
But like what is it called in college? It's not like an honors class, but it's like.
Just like you take like the 1,000 level English or the 3,000 level English.
Like I wasn't in like the normal English. I was in the. It's the only class I've ever been excelling
at. Interesting. I feel
anyways,
like this is made up.
Kicked ass.
Nice. Brie made dessert for Thanksgiving.
So my food news for Thanksgiving is yes. I'm going to start with my highlight, which was the crust things. I wish I could give everybody a more better name for these, but my mom used to make them. She's our mother. Every holiday, like with her leftover apple pie crust, she'd like sprinkle them with cinnamon sugar, roll them up, bake them. And we haven't had them in several years. Like we haven't gone home or like mom hasn't made pies, whatever the case is. So I made them. And they're delicious. And as sad as I am that I gave a huge amount to them to the coffee shop, I'm glad because I've been eating nothing but them.
I got over here today and I'm like, do you have any pie crust things left? And she said she had two and she gave me the smaller one, but that's okay.
Still shared.
Yep, she still shared. I don't know that I would have, so nice.
Like, I got really, like a surge of motivation on Wednesday night. And like Mark was helping me like kind of get all the things out and get ready for baking and doing this French silk pie from Ambitious Kitchen. And I was so excited to make it. I thought I kicked ass. You know, it looked really good, my decoration and my piping skills, I still got it. And then when it came time to serve it, it was so weird, like this whipped cream had granulated sugar instead of confectioner's sugar. So as soon as I cut into it, like the whipped cream kind of like broke, like, you know, it just got liquidy. And even that aside, it was like a cavity-inducing pie.
It was very sweet.
I think I had two bites of it. The only person who wolfed theirs down was Phil.
Which, like, once he saw us stopping, he's like, well, I guess I'll stop too. But he had, like, two bites left.
Kristen and I were like, God, this is really sweet. Phil's like, is it? Should I stop eating it? Is it that sweet? I mean, I used 80% dark chocolate to try to combat the sweetness. And I would never make it again. But I mean, it was delicious. Like, whatever. But I'm going to go back to your Oreo comment from last week. We got a lot of traction from your Oreo hate on our Instagram.
Nice, nice.
And I was like, yeah, what's wrong with our Oreos? Fucking delicious. And let me tell you something. There was hazelnuts and Oreos in this crust, and I had an Oreo. Mind you, it was just like the traditional Oreo. It was not good. So I guess
I'm a big fan of like the Oreo cookie, just not the white stuff.
Sure. I understand, but like for me altogether, just not what I had remembered in my mind from the last time I had an Oreo. So I'm going to have to kind of give you the win on that one.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Was that all the Thanksgiving food we had to go through?
Yes. So that was Thanksgiving. We did a little shopping yesterday. I think you did too. Nothing crazy though.
It could have been crazy, but like,
yeah, we just don't need a lot. Yeah. We were real tired yesterday. Good day.
Real tired.
Thanksgiving was a fun day.
I mean, you know, we were over at your house for almost 11 hours.
It's true.
So
yeah.
But before Thanksgiving, we did host Football Sunday and did try a couple of new recipes. We made roasted garlic cauliflower soup from Ambitious Kitchen, which, while it was decent, I would never make it again. Didn't have a lot of flavor, I guess, as cauliflower happens to not, but it was kind of a lot of work. Garlic parmesan roasted cauliflower, just straight roasted, and that was from Dish Out Health, and that was really good. Everybody seemed to like that a lot.
It was good. I liked the soup, but yeah, you have to zhuzh it up. Like, cauliflower soup on its own is tough.
Yeah.
And it involves a lot of pans because you have to.
It seems like a good base for something else, like making that soup and adding something else to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were tossing around like I said a bacon, but you said chicken maybe. And anyways.
Yeah. And then the only other thing was Chex Mix. Between the crust things and the Chex Mix, holy shit.
Yeah, just set that scale back 15
set
pounds.
Set that scale back.
I was
just really pumped that I had a lot of food news this week.
Woo. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's all for food news. I mean, it's soup season. I've been delving into a lot of, like, Pinch of Yum, Chicken Wild Rice, Cookie and Kate, Minestrone. Love soup season.
At some point this season, I am going to master Brussels sprouts. I've decided. The end.
Good luck.
What are we clicking on this week?
So, like, I have a lot of things to talk about.
Kick us off.
It's weird stuff, man, because I just don't really feel like there was a lot of, like, celeb news this week. But, yeah. Today, actually, this morning over coffee, I clicked on an article about an AI model, you know, like a model from Spain who makes $12,000 a month and has 124,000 followers. And basically, this guy from a modeling agency or something, he found that models and influencers were too difficult. So they created this AI influencer who, you know, just streamlines things. And she's got these followers, and like basically on her most recent like Instagram story, you know, she was getting drinks with friends and working out at the gym, you know. But yeah, what the fuck?
I do not understand. What?
And what I want to happen to this guy who thinks the real people are too difficult, I can't wait till his job is streamlined by some AI, because that guy can go fuck himself. The whole thing just pissed me off and baffled me all at the same time.
I do not understand. What do you mean this AI model makes $12,000 a month? It's not even a real person. Like, what the fuck do you mean?
The company makes $12,000 off of this AI model.
This is blowing my mind.
I know. I couldn't help but click on it.
I don't know if I've said this yet on our podcast, but AI scares the fucking shit out of me.
You have. It's scary.
You got people using AI to make themselves look a certain way, and I don't understand how any of this is healthy. I don't understand how we are at this point now where fake people are becoming a thing. Imagine online dating now with AI.
Oh my God. Talk about the ultimate fucking catfish. Another thing I saw that I unfortunately clicked on Big Little Lies season 3, does anybody care? Has anybody asking for this? Because season 2 was just a disaster.
I didn't even finish season 2. Because did there need to be a season 2? I didn't think so.
No.
And it just seems like to me that it's one of these shows now where, because Meryl Streep was in season 2, right? Like, they're just, like, grasping on to people to try to make it a thing.
It's just so hard because it was based off of a book. And so when you go off script like that to make a season 2 where there was no book, I mean, it was made for a reason because the book was really good.
Right. People need to be okay with either if it's a book or whatever the case is where it's supposed to be either an hour-long movie or a one-season show. That's it. If it's successful and people love it, that's amazing. But you don't need to keep continuing on with it and dragging it out so people now, like, think negatively about it.
Right. Because what's going to happen is there's going to be another show and nobody's going to care. Nobody cares about Big Little Lies anymore.
No.
So, like, why are you doing this?
God.
Moving on.
Fuck.
There's some things you're clicking on.
Clicked on a lot of Taylor news.
What,
you know?
Taylor news is out there?
Well, since we recorded last week, you know, she was supposed to be at Monday Night Football.
Oh, right.
Wasn't, due to her show being rescheduled and canceled because of the fucking sweltering heat, which I don't need to get into that. But what I did want to mention is, and this continues to blow my mind the more I think about it. So Angela, one of our listeners, commented on something and said her mom had met Travis Kelce's dad at the game. And I was like, oh, my God. And so she sent me this picture of her mom and Travis Kelce's dad. Okay. Super funny. And then she said her mom also met, like, Patrick Mahomes' mom, and they, like, exchanged phone numbers.
Ooh.
And
I feel like we're 6 degrees of separation away from, like, getting Taylor Swift on this podcast or Travis Kelce, whatever.
And she's, like, said something to her mom about how, oh, I hope they see the picture of her kids when as Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce for Halloween. And she said her mom, like, sent Patrick Mahomes' mom the picture or something. And it's just, all of this is blowing my mind. And I was like, you're basically closer to being friends with Taylor Swift than 99.9% of the rest of us. Anyways, it's about the coolest story I've heard. And I also just let her know that to this day, I'm still disappointed that I didn't make it to the Chiefs-Patriots playoff games in 2017. She said she was at that game. And then, you know, she was like, oh, I got to see Julian, you know, Edelman, favorite Patriot of all time. I'm jealous, I guess, is my point. So
amazing.
Yeah. Listeners, try to top that story. So that is just kind of all my Taylor Swift news. I need to get your thoughts on the Hunger Games prequel. I feel like you and I both, like, genuinely enjoy the Hunger Games movies, like the first three of them. What are your thoughts on the prequels?
Side note, kind of about the same thing. I saw the guy who made the Hunger Games movies was on Andy Cohen Live. And I believe I've got this straight. Andy Cohen asked him if he regretted making the last one into two movies. And he definitely does.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, I just recently decided to watch all the Hunger Games. And those the last one in particular is tough. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to maybe see this prequel, but then I heard Amanda Dobbins and Juliet Littman talking about it on The Ringer Dish, and Amanda Dobbins had to see it because she does the movie podcast over there.
Oh, right.
The Big Picture, and she said it was, like, kind of, like, musical-esque because the main character girl is, like, a traveling, like, banjo singer or something, so she sings a lot. I don't know, but Amanda Dobbins hates, like, singing in any form, so.
This is about the one thing Amanda Dobbins and I agree on is I can't fucking stand musicals. So, yikes, that might deter,
like,
me.
I won't see it in theaters, but I'll probably gladly watch it out of theaters. Plex. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel about the same, and I guess I'm even more hesitant to watch it now because of that. So, ugh. Something else to make you feel old. It was the 15-year anniversary of the first Twilight movie and the last Twilight book coming out this month.
Wow.
That's it. I don't really have anything else to say about it.
Love Twilight. Super well-written books. God, just kidding, but I love those books so
much.
Dude,
those books are so fucking good.
You just recently reread the first one.
I did, yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Do you want... Okay, I'm going to come back to the Dolly Halftime Show. The latest thing that I clicked on before you came over was Jamie Lynn Spears breaks silence on I'm a Celebrity. I wish I wouldn't have clicked on this, but I did. They ask her about Britney, and she says something about, like, the Madonna kiss, and she was like, oh, yeah, I saw that, and I just, like, couldn't wait to go to school the next day because I was just going to, like, hear about it. And then somebody asked her, like, who was famous first, you or your sister? And she's like, well, obviously my sister's 10 years older than I am, so she was famous first. And then somebody asked her about, like, oh, I heard you don't really get along with your sister now. Do you want to, like, say anything about that? And she just said, I love my sister.
When is this from?
Like, that show must be on right now. I'm a Celebrity.
Like, I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here.
Something like that.
I feel like these are resurfaced clips or something.
I don't know, man. It just popped up today as of an hour ago on people.com. You can fact check this. And she, like, alludes to, like, always having her back. And what? I don't need to hear from Jamie Lynn Spears ever again. Again, I'm very disappointed in myself for clicking on this. You can't say you have your sister's back with all of this going on. That's really the end of it. I just, God.
But also, who knows the real story? I don't feel like we're ever going to get the real story.
I don't think so either.
And I mean, what is Jamie Lynn Spears supposed to do as like a fucking 17-year-old? I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't want to get into this.
I know. But like, I wish somebody would start being real. When people stop being polite and start being real, right?
Nice.
Do you want to talk about the Dolly Parton halftime show?
I want to talk about both halftime shows. We'll go in order with the Lions one with this Jack Harlow clown. It wasn't even that bad, actually. He's not a clown. I don't really know who he is. He did fine, but like, the only thing that's baffling to me is like his stage setup.
What the fuck was up with the stage?
And we are not the only ones who thought this. It was pretty like roasted online.
I didn't know who this person was either. He seems genuinely talented. That has nothing to do with this, okay? Calm it down. But like, that igloo thing looked like it was set up by a fucking like church preschool program. Like, are you serious?
For sure.
I mean, this is Thanksgiving football.
Right. It is weird.
And like, the guy behind him, like,
yeah, like, who was that guy?
We thought he was like a sign language interpreter, but he was just kind of like one of those, I think, like, build you up kind of people on stage, like,
yeah,
Dr.
like
Dre
that, like
or
a
something.
Hype man.
Yeah. But like, just nothing was working.
But more importantly, let's move on to Dolly Parton. I am pretty like annoyed that I'm seeing so many people like, yeah, you go, Dolly. I'm sorry. Like, everybody should be very concerned that Dolly Parton is 77 years old and looks. I think it's super weird that these women, Dolly Parton and Cher, for example, are so old and look so young. It weirds the fuck out of me.
I'm going to stand by this. And I thought the same thing when I watched her sit down a couple weeks ago with her rhinestones and whatever her show was that she did, because all I could do was stare at her hands and her like chest, like her clavicle, not like her boobs. And the skin was just like glass, like no wrinkles. It was so smooth. And makeup can't really do that much. I'm convinced she wears a skin suit.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, there's just no
you
way.
You heard it here first.
Like, there's no way her hands can look like that. And this doesn't matter. She's so honest and open about all the plastic surgery she's had.
Very generous with her money. She donates. We all understand this.
Yeah,
everybody.
But like, calm it the fuck down, okay? But holy shit, her stomach, it's like concaved. Like, it goes in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she is amazing for being her age and looking the way she does. Plastic surgery, like, she
I don't
looks,
know, man. Whatever. I don't think it's that amazing.
But like, you look at somebody who's a bad plastic surgery person that I can think of.
Some of the housewives, I don't know.
Sure. Where they just look like fucking clowns.
I kind of think Dolly Parton weirdly looks like a clown.
like, yes, I can.
Why are
that.
You dressed like a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader?
Because she can be. No. Yeah, I see everything. I understand everything that you're saying, and I agree. What I'm getting at is that I admire that she's that old and can like walk around. But what was
she really couldn't walk around?
What was concerning for me on this halftime show is the way that she couldn't move around. She was like using that big star thing as like a support.
Right.
Was anybody concerned that she was gonna fall down?
She was.
Like, holy shit! Like, Dolly, you're kind of like America's like gem. Like, just kind of, like, take a seat.
Right. Like, don't get me wrong. Mad respect, but like, I don't need to see her dressed like a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. And one of the comments I read that I thought was the most funny is somebody was like, let me try to get this right. He was like, is this one of the cheerleaders from the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl? It was excellent. I mean, the whole thing was weird. And then she didn't even sing. Like, I mean, and it was very blatant.
It was, I'm going back to like the worst lip syncing performance and the most cringe performance I could think of. And it was it 2007 when Britney did the VMAs and did the Give Me More?
Around
that, for me, like, I still think about that and how uncomfortable it was to watch it and just the whole thing. And this is how I felt watching Dolly. But like, I think the difference between Dolly Parton and that performance is that she doesn't give a fuck, you know.
Right.
I already heard, like, read she was like making fun of it and making fun of herself and like whatever, which of course that's what you got to do. But man, yeah, it was a tough watch.
I'm definitely thankful for it because it was some good content.
I can't believe Phil, Kristen's husband, had taken the dogs out for a walk and missed the whole thing. And there was just no way that we could explain to him.
I showed him a little yesterday. What did he say? He was just mortified. He was confused. I think he actually said, "I'm so confused." Yeah.
God. The only other thing I want to hear your thoughts on that I clicked on was the Willy Wonka movie with Timothy Chalamet. Thoughts?
I feel like we just had like a Willy Wonka movie with Johnny Depp within the last decade, so I don't need another one. And it's weird that it's Timothy Chalamet.
I think I saw the Johnny Depp one.
Like, I enjoyed it, I think.
I don't really know if I did.
2005?
Shut the fuck up. That's almost 20
Actually,
years ago.
Actually, it was when I lived in New York, so that makes complete sense.
Oh my God, are you serious? Ugh.
Well, it was within the last two decades.
I don't want to talk about that anymore. Everybody. Oh my God.
So I was listening to a podcast. I know I'm going like out of order. I don't really have anything I'm not clicking on. Do you?
Yeah, but go for it.
Okay. So this is kind of some Taylor content. So I was listening to Straight Up with Stassi, and she had Taylor Strucker on her podcast, who is like a SiriusXM personality. And she's like who officiated Stassi's wedding.
Besties.
So they do like a pop culture happy hour. And they were brutal on Brittany Mahomes. And I was actually like taken aback. I thought it was really fucking mean. Basically, they're super jealous that Brittany Mahomes is friends with Taylor Swift. And they were like, just because Taylor Strucker was like, just because Brittany Mahomes, because she's been with Patrick Mahomes since like eighth grade or something. Like,
right.
Just because she got boobs first doesn't mean like she's this and that. And she was just, they were going hard on Brittany Mahomes. And I'm sorry, that's super fucking bitchy. And I know you and I are bitchy all the time, but I even found this offensive. And they were talking about the Skims campaign, which like, talk about something I'm not clicking on. Like, I don't think it matters that Brittany Mahomes did the Skims campaign.
You know what's funny about that is I clearly stopped listening to that episode early because I did start listening to it. But I did listen to one of the Nick Viall podcasts from last week, and he also fucking talked about the Skims campaign and like, is Taylor going to be upset that she did the Skims? Who fucking cares?
Yeah. I'll tell you
Jesus.
What.
Jesus.
I like strongly believe if Brittany Mahomes like never talked to Taylor Swift again, she'd be just fine.
Sure.
Like, they're not even like real friends, probably.
She's just trying to help a girl out. You know?
Yeah.
She's the feminist, not the feminist we need, but the, oh, I fucked that up. Never mind.
Anyways, what? And also, Patrick Mahomes was in the Skim campaign. Their whole family. You know who doesn't need Taylor Swift is Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry. It's his seventh year with the Chiefs, his full sixth year starting, and he's been to the playoffs six times. He's been to three Super Bowls, and I looked at every single one of his stats because I just wanted to like throw some out, and I really couldn't pick any because there's so many. He's phenomenal, and he does not need Taylor Swift. And
no.
It really annoyed me.
It's just like really trying to
pit women against each other.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say set fires where they don't need to be set, but that's exactly it. And Taylor doesn't need to be like hanging out with Brittany Mahomes like as often or as little as she does. She doesn't need to, but she's doing it as like a stan kind of thing, you know, like quit kind of being assholes to her. And then we have this, which is just the opposite of it. And I really like to think that Taylor Swift has, I don't want to say grown up enough, but like she's at the point in her career where things like this do not bother her.
Right.
Because like, again, who cares?
Right.
I mean, I don't like Kim Kardashian and I had Skims at some point, you know? Fuck.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. This is something, it's not necessarily a not clicking on, but something that I do want to address. Gen Z saying, get rid of the leggings and skinny jeans and ankle boots. Fuck off, Gen Z. You know, I thought this next younger generation was supposed to be all about just like be yourself and blah, blah, blah. But like, get rid of your leggings and skinny jeans and ankle boots. Like
what would you wear?
Exactly. What would I wear?
Pretty soon they're going to be saying, get rid of your oversized hoodies.
Well, and so this is my question. So, okay, so I should get rid of my leggings and skinny jeans and just swap that out for like super tight booty shorts and like a three times big sweatshirt.
Right.
And then that
it looks like you're not wearing pants.
Yeah. And then like the crossbody thing.
Or you should walk around wearing a fucking sweatsuit looking like a sloppy fucking hobo.
Yeah. Hey, you know, 2001 called, they want their juicy couture sweatsuit back. Boom. Anyways, like, fuck off.
We're so angry today.
So I'm just like, I hate reading shit like that. That makes me feel like I'm not keeping up with the times.
You are. And it's, you know what? We are basically middle-aged. So
yeah,
doesn't matter.
Something else I didn't click on, but I know you and I kind of touched on, was Northwest roasting Kim Kardashian's Met Gala looks. don't care. Northwest, go play with the Barbie. Ashton Kutcher released a Thanksgiving message after months of silence on the Danny Masterson backlash. You know who I don't need to hear from really ever again is Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, go away.
And then Biden's Inferno birthday cake. Okay, let's move on.
All right.
Things we're watching. You didn't really love the Special Forces episode this week. I didn't necessarily dislike it as much as you did, but you had some thoughts.
I'm just done with the show. I have a problem knowing that it's all fake and they're, like, supposedly running from, like, an enemy, but there's really no enemy, so I don't really. But, like, I was entertained through some of it. Like, the first part of it was looked really hard, but I had to scale for 2 miles, like, this mountain, like, the incline with the 130-pound sled they're pulling, you know.
I mean, it made Bodie quit.
Bodie quit?
My biggest thing when they were pretend running from enemies that didn't exist was when Tom Sandoval had to take a break and was, like, munching on what appeared to be, like, Pringles or something. Where the fuck did he get the Pringles?
Trail mix. He said he needed some trail mix. It looked like he was really hungry because he was, like, just stuffing it in his mouth, and then he needed some water.
Then you got, like, JoJo Siwa and Aaron. That's that girl's name. I know. We couldn't think of it. I felt really bad. We're just beast modes, like, hey, Tom, calm it the fuck down. Yeah, we did stop watching season one, like, with a few episodes left because it does get a little lengthy at this point. So I'm glad next week is the last episode. But
yeah, me too. Bad news. I did not watch this week's Survivor yet. So
I'm still going to talk about it. I'm not going to tell you who goes home or anything, but I think I can still say what I'm going to say. So last week with the food auction week, we saw Kelly go home, which I will say I was really not happy about because I liked Kelly. This episode, when they're at tribal council, she's sitting on the jury and she's talking to Caleb. Caleb is, like, holding her hand and, like, reassuring her because they're talking about how, you know, Bruce thought somebody was going to go home. And then the other dude, the Boston guy, thought he was going to go home. And it was crazy that it was just like whenever anybody talked about the last tribal council, she just got very emotional. Do you know what Survivor I miss is when the people on the fucking jury, they didn't really ever pan to them and they didn't show emotion or I didn't know the people on the jury were supposed to really talk that much. It was really annoying. And now I'm like totally fine with her being gone.
Yeah.
The season is just kind of really, I don't want to say it's starting to annoy me, but it's, I don't know, man. It's just, it's tough to see these players seemingly just be so excited to make it to these milestones and not win the game. I don't know. It's just something that I've noticed and it's just kind of like, it's irking me. Basically, go Emily and go Keturah. I just like D.
Oh, you're on the Keturah train now.
I'm on the Keturah train. Yes. I know. I've done a real 180 on her. I don't like D and I do not like Austin.
Oh.
I know. Yes. Like,
can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
I really respected last week during the food auction when the one girl got the eyeballs, Keturah did.
Yeah.
And then Austin bought them for like $100 and just tried to get a little protein. It was super gross. Ugh.
That's really all I have to talk about with Survivor.
I did like the food auction. That was super fun.
And you went, like, you saw, like, old ones on Instagram.
Yep.
Yeah. God, I hope they keep that challenge back. It's not even a challenge, but I hope they keep that back. It's my freaking favorite.
Right. I want to tell you about a little movie that we landed on last night.
This is Kristen has not told me about this, so every reaction I have right now is going to be genuine.
Phil and I have a really hard time picking movies all the time, mainly because there hasn't been movies. Like, since the pandemic, movies are tough.
True.
And, like, 1 out of 10 Netflix movies are even, like, watchable.
Mm-hmm.
So after about 20 minutes of scrolling through Netflix, we landed on Power of the Dog, which is, like, a year or two old, and it was, like, an Academy Awards darling. It's with Kirsten Dunst.
Is that Dennis Quaid in it?
No.
Okay.
It's with Kirsten Dunst and Landry and Benedict Cumberbun, whatever the fuck his name is, Cumberbatch, and I'm not a huge fan of his, and I'm just going to give, like, a 15-sentence synopsis. It's a Western, and Landry and Benedict Cumberbatch are brothers who hate each other, but you don't ever learn why. It just seems like they hate each other. They own a ranch, and they have, like, 12 ranch hands or something, and they all go to, like, eat at this restaurant that Kirsten Dunst runs with her gay son, okay? This is, like, the 1920s, Wyoming. Montana, one of those. And the son is gay, which everybody realizes because the son makes these, like, paper flowers that go on the table. And the Benedict Cumberbatch's like, which pretty lady made these? And then he's like, I did. And, like, so Landry marries Kirsten Dunst. They go to live at the farm. She turns into, like, a raging alcoholic. Okay, she's a widower, by the way. And he's gone all the time. Nobody really likes him. They really like the Benedict Cumberbund brother because he's, like, super
smart. You know
smart.
That it's not Cumberbund, right?
I don't know his last
name. It's, like, Cumberbatch. Cumberpatch.
Cumberbatch?
Cumber. Cucumber.
Who cares? I realize he's a good actor. Basically, turns out he's also gay because there's, like, a secret stash of, like, nudie photos.
Cumberbund?
In the forest that the kid finds. And all the while, they start to become friends, of course, because they want to, like...
My God, do they end up together?
Well, so they, like, want to, like... You can tell now there's an attraction, right? I know I've gone over my 15
lines. Wait. How old is the son?
I don't know.
Well, like, how old do you think
he is? He's, like, of age, I think.
Okay.
And all the while, Benedict is making this rope out of, like, rawhide. And Kirsten Dunst sells all of his rawhides to the Native Americans. And he gets very upset. But then the kid is like, I have a rawhide. Okay? So he, like, uses the kid's rawhide. But it turns out, like, anthrax is a big thing back then in animals. And I don't know if it's the terrorist anthrax or what kind. We meant to Google this today and we didn't. So the kid is wearing gloves when he gives the rawhide to Benedict. And Benedict ends up dying from anthrax because the kid planned this all. The kid's kind of creepy.
What?
Like, he wants to be a doctor. So he, like, kills bunnies and, like, does, like, autopsies on or whatever. So the whole fucking thing was weird. It's a 2-hour movie. I was pissed off when it got over. And I was like, what the fuck did we just watch?
If there's anything Kristen hates more than long movies, it's long movies that she does not like.
I have so many questions. What's, like, ridiculous?
Question.
Yes.
If you had a gun to your head and, like, you had to watch either that movie again or Tusk, which one would you watch?
Probably Tusk.
Cool.
What about you?
Well, I haven't seen the other one.
I know, but
just
knowing,
by judging,
knowing what I just told you.
I would definitely watch Tusk again, which kills me on the inside to say that out loud.
And, like, this was one of those, like, award show darlings that, like, you never, ever should watch.
I mean, I like Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons together. I think they're adorable. Would I have watched that? Did you watch the trailer before you watched it? Okay, so misleading trailer, clearly.
I don't know. I kind of had a feeling what it was going to be, but Phil, it's like it was Phil's night last night, you know?
Sure. Okay, moving on. I am watching Take Care of Maya. I finished...
Wind River?
I finished Wind River with Jeremy Renner. I went back to it. Really good movie. Really, it does take a while to kind of, like, get into it, but it's really good, really sad, and I've just... It is the Taylor Sheridan movie, which I did not know until I was telling Kristen that there was a lot of crossover from Mayor of Kingstown.
And then I asked her if it was Taylor Sheridan. So Taylor Sheridan does Yellowstone, Mayor of Kingstown, all of, like, the prequels to Yellowstone.
Yeah, which explains why it was a little bit more fucked up than I thought it was going to be. But there's another Netflix movie for you that was good.
Yeah, I went back to it because Phil and I started it the other night and we fell asleep. And so I went back to it today and it is getting really good.
So yeah, so my next thing that I started as my gym watch was, per Kristen's recommendation, Take Care of Maya, which I finished almost today. Holy fuck.
Bad one, huh?
Jesus. Can't wait till I can watch an uplifting movie at the gym.
Right. It's a documentary.
It's a really good documentary. I mean, I want to recommend it, but it's a tough watch.
Right. It's like, if you're a parent, which we are not, I'm sure this movie could be, like, the most scary, like, scenario for any parent.
Okay, other things I'm going to touch on. Dancing with the Stars. This is relevant to most people who don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but it was Taylor Swift night. They said something about how it was the most votes ever. I can't remember if it was just this season or, like, ever in the show.
Big score for Dancing with the Stars.
People in the crowd were, like, singing along, clapping.
Question. Did the band sing the Taylor Swift songs? Ugh.
I know.
Okay.
I honestly thought it was going to be just all Taylor songs, her singing them. Some of them were, most of them were not, to my dismay. The version of Style that band put out, I pinpointed this. There was a point when I still watched The Voice. This was like 15 years ago. Calm down. Somebody came out and did The Killers on that show, and I was like, nah. And this is exactly how I feel with the Taylor Swift and the Dancing with the Stars. Like, just leave it to the professional. Nobody wants to hear your version of Style.
Like, if you have the rights to use the songs, just use Taylor
Swift
singing them.
The only other thing is, I don't remember a season where it's been this close, you know, the semifinals with people still getting sevens. The Australian guy, Harry, did a jive to Shake It Off. It was the most uncomfortable thing that I've watched. He went home finally. Yeah. And then a random thought that I wanted you and I to touch on was who watches the show The Masked Singer.
Oh, you're done with Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Ariana
got all nines.
But she danced to which one again? Cruel Summer. Okay.
She did really good. That Sochi girl did good. I think she almost got a perfect score. And then Jason Mraz got a perfect score.
What did he dance to?
He danced to, are you ready for it? I think, I might have screwed that up. But he did really good. So it's Ariana, Jason Mraz, Sochi Gomez, Allison Hannigan. I think that's it. So
cool. Yeah,
only a couple more episodes left.
Yeah. Who watches The Masked Singer?
Who watches The Masked Singer?
No offense to anybody who does.
But like, who does? If you do watch it, can you please let us know why? Every time we see a commercial for it, it looks like the most tough watch.
It's true.
And then, really, I wish I would never have to see the John Travolta Santa commercial ever again.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Are you serious?
Excellent.
Oh, my God.
And then we're going to start watching Winter House, I think you and I are.
Okay. So I did try to watch it last night. You know who's on that show is the season of Vanderpump when they go to that house where they kind of like do that crossover and the fucking guy who tells Stassi she looks like Steve Jobs. He's in that show.
Because he's on Summer House.
He has a mullet.
Ooh.
And I do not like that guy. So I saw him and he was like in the first like 2 minutes and I'm like, nah.
Is Johnny Bananas on that show? I think he is.
No, it's not Johnny Bananas. Johnny Bananas is in the
House of Villains.
House of Villains. Right. There's somebody from that realm on there.
Okay. So you're not sure. So no, maybe we're going to start watching.
I'll suck it up and watch it. I just, God, I hate that guy so much. He's so annoying.
I wanted to ask you, and Mark has been asking too, like, what shows we're excited about coming back? And so I really had to deep dive into, like, what shows I've watched over the last year and a half, and, like, what I'm actually excited for to come back, and I have a list.
Okay.
The Last of Us. Pedro Pascal.
Yep.
For sure. And my understanding is HBO, that is one of the top three shows that they are, like, zoning in to, like, be back the fastest. And the other two, Euphoria and White Lotus. Did you watch White Lotus?
I have never watched White Lotus.
That's fucked up.
I know. I don't even have a good reason. I don't really know how. Like, yeah.
And the other ones are Handmaid's Tale, which you and I have talked about. And then Tell Me Lies, which I kind of forgot about, but it's a Hulu show. And I've told you to watch it, haven't. And then The Bear.
Oof, man. I should have looked this up, but it feels like it has been 2 years since we have watched Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. I think it was like last summer or something.
It seems long. Like, were we living here when it came out? I don't even remember. So Handmaid's Tale, I'm excited about for sure. Abbott Elementary is another show that we really like, which you and Phil have kind of started to dabble in, but it's a good, really a nice feel-good half-hour show. The Bear, definitely. I can't even say Grey's Anatomy because I didn't finish last season. I only watched the Scott Speedman episodes, and it seemed like his part was dwindling, so I just didn't keep up with it. God, Vanderpump, obviously. But I can't.
Oh, yeah, Vanderpump for sure.
But, like, I guess I can't really think of anything else. I will say, I think I mentioned this last week, we started rewatching Jack Ryan because we did the first season and fell off the second season. So I'm excited to, like, keep seeing how that show progresses and either be caught up with it or be caught up with it by the time the new season comes out. If there is one, I'm not really sure.
I think there is.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about Euphoria last week. I can't go into that anymore. I think that's really all I can think about right now.
Okay. I wanted to tell you, and I wanted to research just to make sure I had it right. So the star of Tell Me Lies, his name is Jackson White, and his mom is Katie Sagal. Okay. And she's also in that show. But his dad is Jack White from The White Stripes.
Wait. What?
I know. Like, and I thought I had heard that before, so that's what I just wanted to, like, say.
Because she's married to What's-His-Butt, who made, like, Sons of Anarchy and all of those shows. Why can't it? Kurt Sutter? What the fuck?
I know. What? Crazy, right?
And number one, Jack White isn't that old.
Well, he's probably pretty old.
That is blowing my mind. So you're telling me, at one point, her and Jack White had a relationship.
Yes.
Katie Sagal, who has got to be in her 60s.
Yes.
At least.
Correct. Okay. I know we're, like, running long here, but I asked you for a couple Instagram accounts that you're really liking lately.
I think you and I talked about this, like, privately or, you know, offline. But the Catherine's, I don't ever know how to pronounce her last name, she's from Grey's.
Oh, Luddington?
Camilla Luddington? Camilla Luddington. What did I say?
Catherine?
Who cares? Her Instagram has been pretty funny since the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing has happened. And I've gotten some chuckles out of that. But besides that, like, nothing really came to mind. But before you tell me yours, you know what I miss is the Sarah Ramos, like, during quarantine when she's doing those super funny like TV movie things.
Maybe she stopped doing them with like the strike.
Maybe, but I feel like it's been a long time. So I do miss that.
Right.
What were yours?
Well, Scott Foley and
His you motherfucker. I have been watching those and I meant to write it down.
He doesn't do anything all year, but then this is Noel, everybody from Felicity. He comes every year to like document their Thanksgiving shopping experience, and it's always real funny.
It is very funny. I did, like, the last one I watched last night was they were in the self-checkout line, and he just ended it with, I hate self-checkouts.
Yep, I saw that one.
That is a really funny. I'm upset that you said that, and I
know. Well, we talked about it last year, I remember. And then the last one I wanted to talk about was this woman, Cecilia, runs this account, and she lives on the island of Svalbard, which is an island close to the...
I'm sorry, what?
It's called, like, Svalbard or something. And it's an island close to the North Pole. And it's this town.
Santa?
And it's the polar nights right now where it's only just nighttime all the time until like February. Her life looks fascinating there. And I can't get enough of this account.
How the fuck did you stumble across this?
It must have been like on my For You page or something.
Jesus.
I mean, the Northern Lights happen all the time. Like whales swim by her cabin all the time. She's right on the ocean. That's all.
We have been talking about taking a winter vacation. Maybe we'll just go to Svalbard.
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 Anyways.
Here's my last random nostalgia moment thought that I want us to talk about. I've been, you know, trying to get mom a Christmas list. And, like, I'm trying to really do well at that this year. And so I'm like, oh, my favorite pair of jeans are, like, getting to end of life. So I was, like, going on Gap's website. Are, like, department stores dead? Like, do people still shop at department stores?
Like, or Macy's?
Sure, anything. Like, any of, like, the mall kind of, like, anchors back in the day? Or is it now just strictly, oh, I saw, like, Kim Kardashian has Skims, so I wear Skims. Or, you know, like, all these random brands that influencers, like, put out there or celebrities endorse or whatever. Like, do people still shop at, like, the name brand stores from back in the day? Or is it all just kind of, like, I don't know. I mean, I know we talked about malls a couple weeks ago and how those are probably dead, but, like, hey, Gap. Like, I mean, pages and pages of shit, and I'm like, ugh.
Gap is tough.
But, like, even, like, Aerie. I think you and I have both really fallen off Aerie.
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive, and it's just the same shit. Like, how many baggy sweatshirts can we have? Like, how many whatever? It's just really interesting to me. This, yeah. Right.
I get a lot from Zara. That was most of my Christmas list was Zara.
Yeah, but like, what the fuck is Zara?
Sure.
But, like, same thing with Zaya. Like, what the fuck is Zaya? But it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just interesting.
Interesting that we like two stores with a letter Z starting.
It is interesting. All right. Well, I think we touched on everything we wanted to touch on. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we will be back next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.